Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome, everybody, to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Today, we're coming from Crawdaddy's in downtown Visalia. They've always been great supporters. It's a fun place downtown, live music every night. This week, we have Billy Long, who's a congressman from the great state of Missouri. I've been to his district, but like everybody, they have interesting stories to tell, like all of us. We all come from different places, different walks of life, and I thought it would be interesting this week because Billy was the auctioneer of the year, I think like six times running. He also made it into the 2016 Auctioneer Hall of Fame, and then sadly, he's also a member of Congress, so he left a real job, one would say, to join us in the swamp. But Billy, welcome to my podcast. Thanks for being out here in the valley and walking around and meeting people and everything that you do on a daily basis. But I really want to talk this podcast about how on earth does one get into auctioneering?
Well, in my case, they're all different, you know, many different stories to be told. But in my case, I was a 24-year-old real estate broker, and there was a guy named president named Jimmy Cotta. And interest rates were 16, 17, 18% on a home loan. Now, I know most people today listening to this that didn't live through that wouldn't believe it, but how would you like to pay 18% on your home loan today? You're probably paying 3% on. And so it was obvious I was going to go starve to death.
Right. So we can give an example. If you bought a $100,000 home in the late 70s at 18% interest, you can imagine your payment.
Right.
Be over $1,000 a month just in interest.
And you'd probably lose your house. And that's what was going on. So you couldn't give away a home through the traditional method of being a realtor, which I was. And so I thought, why not auction these homes off? My dad had taken me to my first auction when I was 2 years old, carrying me on his shoulders, and down to the Frisco Dead Freight Auction. The Frisco Railroad line ran, and anywhere they had damaged freight across that line, they would bring it into Springfield, Missouri, offload it once a month, had what they called the dead freight auction. They'd pay the people for their damaged merchandise, and then they'd recover what they could through this auction. So that was my first auction, and I can still remember going in that old building and watching the auctioneer and sitting on my dad's shoulders looking around at the crowd
and
everything.
What type of items would come off of a freight train like that?
Chemistry kit, a kid's toys, chemistry kits, furniture, just anything that got damaged along the line on the railroad. So it, you know, could be canned goods, anything in the world. But my folks had a used furniture store at that time. In fact, the Flame Restaurant, where you have had dinner in Springfield, was my granddad's used furniture store, that actual building.
So he would bring in furniture, repair it. He'd go to these auctions, that sort of thing.
Right.
Take you, buy this furniture, repair it, put it in the store.
Exactly. So I had a little background in the auction business over the years. My mom collected antiques. So on a Saturday, we'd go, Dad, me and Mom, we'd go out, you know, find some country auction to go to and try and buy an old Pierce 10 pie safe or something, and Mom would take it home and redo it, you know, and usually we kept the items. We didn't sell anything. But so I thought, why couldn't you go to auction school? So I got to researching, and what they called the Harvard of Auctioneering happened to be 180 miles from my house in Kansas City, Missouri, the Missouri Auction School. And went up there to auction school, came home.
At 24 years old, you went to auction school.
Right. And no one's going to trust you selling real estate, you know, as a new kid out of auction school. So I got with another auctioneer, and I volunteered my time with him for a year while I was still in the real estate business, and learned the trade, learned the craft from him pretty much. And then the first house I got sold successfully, and then the next one and the next one. And a real estate auction, a lot of people think of real estate auctions as depressed, bankruptcy, foreclosure, something like that. But the best real estate auction is in a good part of town, in a good area where there's competitive bidding. Everybody wants that house. You see houses here in Visalia, I'm sure that the sign goes up one day, sold sign goes up the next day. And sometimes they have bidding wars, even though they don't have an auctioneer through the real estate company. People are putting contracts in for more and more money. So that's the best kind of house you can
buy. So you go to auctioneering school, 150 miles away from your house?
180, yeah.
180. You walk in the door the first day. How do they teach you to talk fast? As my daughters say, auctioneers, they call them fast talkers.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
how do you learn that?
It's just basic rote memory, actually. You just start out $25 bid, now 30. $25 bid, now 30, now 30. $25 bid, now 30, now 30. Will you give me 30? So there's one now, two nows, and then two nows with a will you give me. So it's $25 bid now, $30. $25 bid now, $30. Now, $30. $25 bid now, $30. Now, $30. Will you give me $30? $30 bid now, $5. $30 bid now, $5. Now, $5. $30 bid now, $5. Now, $5. Will you give me $35? But you also learn tongue twisters, and that's the best way. In fact, I could teach you to be an auctioneer right now.
Right now?
Yeah. Just say what I...
$25 now, $30.
Just say what I say, all right? Betty Botter bought some butter.
I can't say that.
Betty Botter bought some butter.
You Betty Botter bought some butter.
But she said this butter's bitter.
But she said this butter's bitter.
If I put it in my batter.
If I put it in my batter.
It will make my batter bitter.
It will make my batter bitter.
So 'tis better.
So it's better.
Betty Botter.
Betty Botter.
Bought a bit.
Bought a bit.
Of better butter.
Of better butter.
So you're an auctioneer, and I'm going to do it one more time.
I graduated already?
Yeah, I'm going to do it one more.
No, you say it fast.
No, I'm just going to say it like I want. You just repeat after me, okay? You repeated that, so just one more time, repeat after me. Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said this butter's bitter. If I put it in my batter, it'll make my batter bitter. So she bought a bit of better butter, put it in her bitter batter, made her bitter batter better. So does better Betty Botter, bought a bit of better butter. Your turn.
Blah, 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 blah. How's that?
Pretty good.
All right, so do it again like we're the 25 to 30. And then how do you speed it up?
People at home can write this down.
How do you know how to speed that up?
20,
how do you train yourself?
You kind of get a rhythm. Everybody gets their own natural rhythm. Just like ABC. Do your ABCs for me.
Do you think I'm a congressman? I don't know my ABCs.
No, do your ABCs for me, just like we learned them.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, O, N, P, Q, R, S.
Okay, good. Now, you don't stop and think A, B, C. Now, what comes next? It's there. It's rote memory. And that's the same way as auctioneer. $25 bid now, $30. $25 bid now, $30. Now, $30. $25 bid now, $30. Now, $30. Will you give me $30? $30 bid now, $5. And you kind of inflect in your voice excitement. You want that person to bid. And
so it's practice. It's right, memorization
right, right.
And practice, like everything.
You cannot believe how many telephone poles have been sold over and over and over across this land. Auctioneers training. They'll go, $25 bid now, $30. $25 bid now, $30. Now, $30. $25 bid now, $30. Now, $30. Will you give me $30? $25 bid now, $30. Then they'll drive by a telephone pole, and that's their bid. $30. $30 bid now, $5. So we all practice on telephone poles driving up and down the road.
Oh, as you're practicing,
yeah,
as
yeah,
you pass
yeah.
the telephone pole. All right, so you sell that first house, and then at what point, so you're 24, 25 years old at that point, when do you start to do, you know, that's just you're going, you're standing on an auction, right, at a courthouse, right?
No. We do on-site auctions in Missouri, especially. If your grandma passes away, we will go and set all her furniture out. Not her furniture, but the small canned goods and everything in her kitchen cabinets and everything out in the front yard, put it on tables. We go in the house, sell her furniture, and then at high noon, we'll auction her house off.
So that's what you were first doing.
Right. And so if you're from Visalia, California, and your grandma dies in Springfield, Missouri, and you go in and you get looking at the, you know, on the internet, seeing the best rated auctioneer, and you hire that auctioneer, and you go in there, and you're standing, you know, at your grandma's auction, and you don't know the auctioneer's name. Maybe you're not the one that actually hired the auctioneer, but you don't know their name. And you walk up and you say, "Hey, Colonel." Every auctioneer in the United States will answer to the handle Colonel. So that dates back to the Civil War. Whenever after the war was over, they needed a way to get rid of tack and mules and things left over.
So I'm supposed to call you Colonel Long.
Yeah, that's right. Colonel Long. But I always tell them, don't call me Colonel because that's the inside of a nut. But... it is Colonel Long, but anywhere, if you go to an auctioneer, trust me, you just say, "Hey, Colonel," and the auctioneer will look up. I don't know your name's Devin. I don't know your auctioneer Nunez, but I know you're an auctioneer in Visalia, California, and I walk up and say, "Hey, Colonel," you'll turn around and say, "Yeah, what can I do for you?" And that dates back to the Civil War. Like I said, they designated the Army colonels to be the auctioneers. Now, they weren't trained auctioneers, but they'd have a saddle. They say, "I have $5 bid for this saddle. Who would pay me $6 for the $6? Anyone
like
else?
Like I would auctioneer.
Anyone else, $7?
Like I would run an auction.
Right. Yeah. Kind of the English method where they just talk it. They don't really, you know, have a rhythm. And there's like three distinct different types of auction, like a general auctioneer like I was, automobile auctioneers. You go to an auto auction, and it's a whole different landscape, a whole different way the auctions are run, a whole different chant. You go to a tobacco auction, quala, quala, holla, holla, rene, rene. Quala, quala is a quarter. Hollow, hollow, like a hollow log, is a half a dollar, and Rene is 75 cents. Why, I don't know, but tobacco auctioneer, quala, quala, holla, holla, Rene, quala, quala, holla, holla, Rene.
Have you ever auctioned off tobacco?
No, I have, but I was trained by Dean Cates. He was one of my auction school instructors, and he sold a lot of tobacco at auction.
So what about around here? As you know, there's a lot of agriculture in this area, so we have cattle auctions, animal auctions. Have you ever done that?
No, because normally when I was a kid growing up, we'd go to auctions because I raised cattle, and we'd go to somebody's farm and buy their cattle at auction off their farm. But by the time I got around to being 24 years old, they'd pretty much moved them all into the sale barn. People would just load them up, take them into the local auction barn that held every Wednesday night or every Thursday morning or whatever, and sell them. So I sold a few head of cattle over the years, but in a 30.
So if grandma had a pig in her backyard, you'd auction that off?
Yeah. But
I'm joking.
For 30 years, I've done it.
How about grandma's dog?
Never sold a dog, I don't think. I don't believe we ever sold a dog. But in 30 years, for 20 of those 30 years, I did over 200 auctions a year. And that's one reason I got elected to Congress, because if you think, your name's been everywhere on posted and flyers you mailed to people for 30 years, and 20 of those 30 years you did over 200 auctions a year, you look at 600 auctions. So, like I said, when I was running for Congress, I said I've had my feet under more people's kitchen tables and sitting on their sofa and going through their houses for the last 30 years than anybody. You know, I felt I knew the district, knew the people of the district, because you go in and talk about selling grandma's antiques.
All right, so what's the craziest thing you've ever sold?
Sterling Silver Tiffany Punch Bowl. There was a trucking company in Springfield, guy started out with one truck, Frank Campbell, and his slogan was humping to please. He had a camel on the side of his truck. And I don't know, probably politically correct, you couldn't put that on there, but all of his trucks said humping to please and had a camel running with a big 66 on the hump for Route 66, as we were on Route 66, built a tremendously successful business. And then when his daughter and son-in-law took over, they robbed it blind, stole all the pensioners' money. People worked there for years, had no money, and they had gone around and bought antiques all over and hidden things out. Well, one thing they bought was a sterling silver Tiffany punch bowl, and I auctioned it there in Springfield for $99,000, and it didn't even have any punch in it.
And was that a good deal for $99,000?
I'm assuming it was, because a jeweler in Springfield partnered with a guy in Miami, a buddy of his, and I'm sure they had designs on where they could get more than $99,000 out of it, but that's still the most unusual thing I ever sold at auction.
What's the most expensive thing you ever sold?
Oh, real estate. I mean,
properties.
Yeah, farms.
What about non-real estate? What's the most expensive?
That was it. For one, you know, small item, that was it. I don't think we ever sold a big tractor or anything for more.
Did anybody ever come to you and want you to auction off something that was unusual, where you had to either you did auction off or you said, no, that's too crazy, I'm not going to auction that off?
Yes, they have. I probably shouldn't talk about what it was, but yeah, we've had in a career 30
well, now
years.
Our listeners want to know what is it.
Yeah, some strange requests. Well, you had pornography tapes that people had sold out of the back of their liquor store and stuff, and the business went bankrupt, and the bank calls us in, and so you got all these porno tapes there.
All right,
you know,
this is a clean podcast.
I really don't think I should do that.
Well, Billy, thanks a lot for coming out to the San Joaquin Valley. I hope you've enjoyed your time here. You're a good friend and great member of Congress and a lot of fun. Thanks for giving our listeners a little education this week on auctioneering.
Thanks for the hospitality, Devin. Appreciate it.
This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days.
Trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard working family can't fix.
We've
got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.